A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Final hour of Gallant and George, broadcasting live from Highway Cantina in Edo. The Killer Bees will be here until 6, so come on, hang out. Get a large marge. I guess they're not available yet on the menu, but their normal margarita is for $9.75.
Tall Texan margarita, not quite fishbowl size, but they are very big. They're outstanding. Drinks here are great. The salsa verde that they have out in front of us right now,
so good,
very good. It's got quite the kick. This is an incredible restaurant.
Absolutely.
And if you are ever looking for a place to go to before or after any of the many sporting events that take place in this area, this should be your go-to spot every single time. Love it here. Try to come here once a week. It's awesome.
Kyle Tucker's up in the top of the third with Alex Bregman on first base. Two outs. Still 1-1 game in the, I guess, the bottom of the third. So the back of the baseball card stuff, it's back. Dana Brown pushing that narrative today with Josh Hader on the flagship. And it's just, it's their go-to. Everything's going to be fine. Reggie Jackson told us. Baggy told us. Dana Brown keeps telling us. They're going to 8-10 game win streak, and just when things go wrong, to look at the back of a baseball card. But what do you despise? Is there anything that pops out that right away you despise as much as the back of the baseball card?
What do you mean?
Like right now for me.
As far as sayings?
Sayings, stuff like that. So right now for me, my number one thing that annoys me, because it hasn't worked out in any instance, is I hate the term generational.
Generational what?
Quarterback.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about sports terms?
Yeah. It can be non-sports terms, okay, too. Andrew Luck, generational quarterback. Very good, obviously, but didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence.
Okay.
Caleb Williams.
Eh.
It's just like this wordy, it's this new buzzword that they've started around draft. Now, like, there are times when it's fair. Like, we all have eyeballs. We could have probably seen this coming with Victor Wembanyama. Like, we knew that was generational.
Yeah.
And one of a kind. Mm-hmm. But even then, like, another one with that is, remember when the big word in the NBA was unicorn?
Yes.
Kristaps Porzingis, unicorn. Giannis, unicorn. Joel Embiid, unicorn. If you were tall and could, like, had a little bit of a jumper, you were a unicorn. Those are probably my top two that I put up there with back of the baseball card, where I'm just like, I'm kind of over this.
These are good ones. I know in my own life, I am tired of hearing, you need to work on yourself. Hey, Paul, you'll find the right person. You just need to work on yourself.
I was going to say, is that out there? It's also just like the one, like she's still out there? You'll find her one day?
I don't get that as much because I think people have already accepted that it's not happening.
Okay.
So it's more working on yourself or talking to somebody who is politely declining and saying, oh, I'm actually working on myself right now.
Okay.
Which has happened a couple of times.
I also want
It's a nice way to say, take a hike, bozo. I don't like you.
I also want to use also anything before but. I'm just going to put that as a category. I don't mean to offend you, but, and then you know that whatever happens after that is going to be offensive.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Everything that is said.
Like, everything that's after the but.
After the but. Right.
Is whatever it is.
It doesn't matter.
Like, I don't mean to be racist, but, like, and then whatever's after, you know it's going to be
wrong. I just want to stay at the but.
Yeah. Like, just, like, don't. Just, like,
can I stay? Can we stop at the but?
Yeah. So that's another one where, like, anything that happens after the but is usually bad.
Okay.
So just avoid that.
I'm tired of hearing about future 8-game winning streaks.
Oh, that's
bad. 8-10 game winning streaks. My bad. Yeah.
I was trying to think about for the
QB1.
Oh.
RB1.
Mm.
No one actually says that.
Just people tweeting.
It started because Friday Night Lights randomly tried to make it a thing in the middle of season one of that show.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people said, no one says this. Stop.
Well,
so they stopped, but then all of a sudden people were like, who's the QB one of this team? Who's the wide receiver one of this team? No one says that. No one who has ever played football has ever said that. And now all of a sudden, these little Gen Zers with their TikTok and their phones.
Well, now it's kind of turned into it's kind of converted from fantasy football too, of like that. So I think that's why it's also stuck. It started with Friday Night Lights, and then that like really picked up with fantasy football. I guess this is in the same category, but I don't know. The Astros participated in this last night. I kind of hate the wave nonsense. The complaining about the wave. I don't know if that necessarily fits into this category of discussion, but I'm just annoyed by it. Like, I know TK even called it out, which I thought was like fair.
Well, listen, baseball games. I've said this before, and I say it a lot. Baseball frightens and confuses me, but it also bores me at times. So I kind of get why the wave happens. But now that we have smartphones, like, come on, bury your head in your smartphone. Come on.
At least they're like, at least
get on the apps.
I found a list here. Okay.
The ball is in their court.
You could hear a pin drop in here.
Okay.
That one's fine. That doesn't bother me as much.
Goat. Goat.
The goat debate.
Greatest of all time.
Mm.
Do you know what greatest of all time means? One. And yet, everyone is now a goat.
Yeah.
So how is everyone the greatest of all time? I saw a conversation, an article that was on, I think, Awful Announcing, and it was talking about we got to pump the brakes on Caitlin Clark as the GOAT. Yes, we do, because she hasn't played, one, a single minute in the WNBA, but also can we wait until her career's done? And then on top of that, it feels like a lot of people are just saying, like, C.J. Stroud, GOAT. One year.
Yeah.
That's a
really good one, Paul.
Goat is everywhere now.
Yeah, it's gotten out of control. Like, it is. Because even just in the context of, like, using C.J. Stroud as an example, like, having to force into it's the GOAT rookie season. Why? Just, like, it's unnecessary.
There were some good numbers there. There's only a few athletes that should be in that GOAT conversation. And it's, like, Michael Jordan. It's LeBron. I know a lot of people don't like it. It's Tom Brady. It's Hank Aaron. There's very few people that should be allowed to be put there.
Mm-hmm.
It's more annoying than the word legend, which also is thrown out a lot these days. I remember I got in a debate with somebody when I was back in Seattle because they were calling Drew Brees a legend. And I'm like, no. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Peyton Manning. He won one Super Bowl in New Orleans. Yes, he is a hero
to
forever.
New Orleans, yes.
He had incredible numbers. He had an incredible career. There's no denying any of that. But that word has become a lot bigger than it. Or excuse me. That word has lost a lot of meaning over the years. But GOAT, no word has lost more meaning in the world of sports. No buzzword that is used regularly than the word GOAT.
B. Hannon says just MVP chance for any player. That's
yep. Yes. MVP chance. Did Jalen Green get MVP chance this year?
I think he did.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's a good one, B. Hannon. Because like they just chant it for good players. Specifically in basketball.
Yeah.
I would say it's a basketball problem. I don't think it's really a football problem or a baseball problem. That is a basketball problem.
You're getting it more in football. I mean, C.J. Stroud got MVP chance this year.
Okay, but now see,
understandable, but he got no MVP votes.
That's true, but at least at one point, it felt like he was going to. Does this make you feel better or worse about Dana Brown's back of the baseball card, this conversation? Was this therapeutic in any way for you?
GOAT is so much worse than back of the baseball card.
So I feel like hopefully this helped you guys. Because I think it helped Paul a little bit.
Until next week, when Dana Brown joins the flagship and says the exact same thing about the next Astro player not playing well.
Well. Okay, so this is actually what I'm most intrigued by with Dana Brown. So 2 weeks in a row, he said they would win 8 to 10 games. Now 2 weeks back-to-back, he said that they were going to, or he referenced the back of the baseball card.
Yeah.
So now I want to listen to the interview next week and figure out what his new catchphrase is going to be for the following week. and just see if Dana Brown stays in like these 2 week cycles.
You know what? If he gets new material, great. But just like a stand up comic who's doing the same 5 minutes every single time that they go up on stage and never actually adapts or get better. You know, like a lot of the people that are on that Kill Tony show, which I was talking about, which for those who don't know is essentially one bunch of people are given 1 minute to go do stand up, and they're almost all mentally ill and terrible. So those people often come back with the same material. I will say, like, Dana Brown, just give me new material.
Yes.
I don't even care if you lie to me. Just give me something new.
I can't wait. I can just,
do not bring up the baseball card again.
I can just hear it in my ears when he says Jose Altuve is the GOAT.
I will find a baseball card store and burn it down. I will burn it down. It'll be that those burnt cards, those crispy Babe Ruth cards, that will be on your hands, that arson.
This is one of those moments for the first time in the show that I'm going to make sure that was clearly Paul Gallant said that. So next time a baseball card place burns to the ground, they don't come looking at me.
Nah.
We are going to try a new segment next.
Oh, okay.
Because it's draft season. So not only is what is the top priority for the Houston Texans next week when the draft begins, but Paul Gallant has put together a special scouting report for us. That'll be
it's
next
a little erotic.
Year. Exactly. That's next year on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Before we do that, I want to tell you about our friends at LaBerge in Lake Charles. Paul, Sean, and myself, we be broadcasting from Louisiana, from LaBerge Lake Charles next Wednesday. Great place to bet on your favorite teams, no matter how good or bad they're doing. Look, if you were at LaBerge, you could just fade the Astros a bunch this season because they have been plus – they've been, like, their opponents have been plus money underdogs, and the Astros just keep giving games away on a consistent basis. So if you want to fade the teams when they're not doing well, you can do that. Or you can be like Sean Brown and I and bet on the Astros over-under. We're still struggling. We still only need, like, another, like, 87 wins to go, I think it is at this point, to hit it. But LaBerge Lake Charles, great place to bet. While you're in the sports book, they have blackjack, they have roulette while you're there. They have great food, tons of TVs. As well, when you're at LaBerge in Lake Charles, you can download the ESPN Bet app to bet on your phone. It's an awesome, awesome thing. So if you're ever just driving near the border, you have the ESPN Bet app. You can bet on your phone while you're in your car. We will be out there next Wednesday, like I said. Make sure when you go, download the Penn Play app and head to LaBerge to bet on your favorite Texas teams.
Loaded, ready, rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Take the day off and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational benefiting Kids Meals. This year's tournament will take place Tuesday, May 7th at 10:30 a.m. at the Highland Pines Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Carbach Brewing, company lunch, dinner from Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, 18 holes of golf, and a quick awards ceremony immediately after the tournament.
It's fun.
You can register now at ESPN975.com under the promotions tab and use the code EARLYBIRD for a $97.50 registration for a limited time. We'll be broadcasting out there all day. You a golfer?
Not a good one, and one of the reasons that I don't golf is because I know I'm not good, but if I ever get into it, it will become an obsession, and I will throw money after money away. It'll all be gone, and I'll be destitute living on the side of a road.
From the 409, giving people flowers is another one. Instead of just saying props, credit, or congratulations, saying that you have to give everyone flowers for doing something good. I would agree with that. That's a new one that's kind of annoying.
Give them their flowers.
Give them their flowers.
Yes.
All right, it's draft season.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to introduce this one, Paul, so I'm going to let you take the wheel.
So, Lance Zierlein is a beloved member of the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 radio station, our radio family. And also, he works at the NFL Network as a NFL draft analyst. So, I don't really like pre-draft conversation because I know that I don't know much. But I thought one fun way to talk about potential draft prospects would be to, one,
figure out things that the Houston Texans need in the draft, and two, then, Joe, we could go through the biggest positions of need, and I'll read profiles that Lance Zierlein has written up, and you get to determine whether or not we like them.
Okay.
So before we move into what position we're focusing on today, what would you say is number one for you? Because we'll do this tomorrow.
Yeah.
Number one, if they're not drafting based off of best player available, they're drafting based off of need. Need alone. You have to pick the biggest need with the first pick, pick number 42 in the second round on Friday next week. What pick, what position are you picking at?
It's corner.
So we're on the same page here.
Yeah, I went back and forth on this one a little bit between corner and safety, but I just think based on what we've seen with Petrie and Jimmy Ward, based on need, I don't think that they're the, like, there is a question there as much as we wanted there to be one. Also, what Nick Caseros recently said about Kenyon Green and D'Amico Ryans the other day when he met with the media said the same thing. He's healthy. He'll have a job to compete. Like, it'll be his job if he can win it. So I don't think left guard fits in that category either. So to me, it's corner. Like, corner is the number one need for this team in the draft.
Corner's number one for me. It's for a couple of different reasons. And one of those reasons is that, okay, you don't have a number two corner. At this moment in time, C.J. Henderson and Jeff Okuda cannot be trusted. And without Steven Nelson, you're going up against a really difficult slate of quarterbacks this coming season. Mm-hmm. So, with that in mind, I'm going to offer you some draft reports from Lance Zierlein on some of the top cornerbacks available.
Do I know their names, or is it kind of
blind? I'm just going to read their traits. You will not know who they are.
Okay.
Here is the twist. I am only going to read the descriptions by Lance Zierlein that are kind of erotic.
Okay.
Without further ado, here is a new test segment for us to talk about the NFL draft, our unintentionally erotic big board.
Okay.
You know Lance Zierlein for his mock drafts.
This is where the problems start in my hometown. I pass on C.J. Stroud.
But have you ever read his scouting reports?
Look at the body. Look at that bubble butt. That power generator's right there.
We're going to pick who the Texans should draft entirely based on these things he actually wrote.
Be a little stiff in the hips.
Ooh. They fall down hard and long.
And now, our unintentionally erotic big board.
I think Rich Eisen was having fun with that fall down long and hard, because that was right after Chris Jones, while running the 40, fell. And we all saw Chris Jones Jr.
Yeah, we
did. Good for Chris Jones.
We did see that.
All right, here is a cornerback prospect, Joe. He has ball skills.
Okay.
He is learning to maintain a feel for man coverage.
Okay.
Do you like this guy, or are you not a fan of this guy?
Well, according to the Twitch, this sounds like one of your draft prospects.
Well, they're all going to sound like my draft prospects, allegedly.
I would say learning I don't love. So I would put this in the no category right now.
Well, that would be the top-rated cornerback prospect, Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo. You're saying no to him.
I'm a pass right now, Quinyon Mitchell.
Okay. The next cornerback prospect, and again, we are only reading the kind of erotic things that were written about them by our very own Lance Zierlein, who offered a lot of ammunition. He possesses average size.
I love that.
He could squeeze things tighter. He's an urgent ball challenger, but he offers excessive cushion.
So it sounds like he's got a dumper. I'm gonna say yes.
All right.
I don't know if average.
That is the second-rated cornerback on the big board. It is Terrion Arnold, cornerback from Alabama.
Okay.
So we are gonna. He's an Alabama guy. He's an Alabama guy.
Which means we know that Nick
Caseros
is gonna like
him. Lance. I'm not making this up. Lance actually wrote these things. All right. Here's another one. Silky smooth lower body movement.
Oh, this sounds strong. This is a strong start.
He can squeeze a little tighter off man.
Okay.
But
sometimes too much cushion off man, and he face guards deep balls.
I mean, I think that's a good strategy that you want to have as a corner. I like the silky smoothness.
Lower body, right.
That this cornerback has. So I would put this as number two currently.
Okay.
So right now, Quinion Mitchell is my worst.
Okay.
My number one was Terrion Arnold. And then the middle is whoever this player is.
This is Nate Wiggins, cornerback Clemson. He is the third-rated cornerback prospect. Okay. Another prospect.
Okay.
Yes or no? He's well-groomed in riding the inside release. He slides and rides the release.
Okay.
He also tugs receivers at the break point instead of relying on his feet.
Hey.
More of a hand guy than a foot guy.
That's a smart person there. Feet are weird. Oh, this is a tough one.
I'm a child.
You are, but I love this. I'm going to go... Yeah, I don't know if I love this one. I'm going to put this at number three on
okay.
my list.
That is... Another Alabama player.
Oh, is this your favorite player?
This is Kool-Aid McKinstry. All right, we got three more prospects
Holy
to go
crap.
Through.
Okay.
Lance,
I love this.
Lance gave me a lot to work with here. I'm very thankful for this. These are all on Lance Zierlein's NFL draft profiles. I copied and pasted this into a series of notes. Joe can't see this, but we're looking at the Texans' biggest needs in the draft, and I'm just reading the most erotic-sounding things from all of the draft reports that Lance Zierlein actually wrote. I'm taking them out of context to a degree, but these are all the quotes. This cornerback, Joe, plays a sticky brand of man coverage.
Okay.
He's a rough ride for receivers when he's jamming them. He drives hard to the throw.
Okay.
But sometimes handsy play.
I think this is number one. This is number one. I think it's going to be tough
okay.
to beat.
This is Missouri cornerback Enos Rakestraw. He's the fifth rated cornerback on the board.
I think he just met with the Texans yesterday.
He did. Interesting.
All right, Nick Caserio, we're on the same page here.
All right, we got a two more.
Okay.
This cornerback has muscular arms and tight hips.
Okay.
A big downhill burst okay. to smack whatever needs smacking.
Okay.
He's got ball skills.
Okay.
He charges hard and slams into pass catchers, but hip tightness will be hard to overcome in man coverage.
Man. The real question is here is how much am I worried about hip tightness? Because this is a pretty good scouting report. I'm gonna put this number two.
Number two. Okay.
We're gonna strong run at the end here.
This would be the great white hope at cornerback.
Oh, Cooper!
Iowa cornerback Cooper DeJean, who's the number I think seven prospect at corner.
All right.
Hip tightness hard to overcome. I think all white people agree.
I probably should have just known that was Cooper. I kind of gave it away. It's like, how do you describe a white cornerback hip tightness?
we got tight hips, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, one last one. One last cornerback. Less ball production than expected.
Okay.
Bigger bodies give him trouble.
Mm.
Opens his hips prematurely.
Oh.
Below average length. And more of a watcher than a worker.
Okay, look, let's make this really simple. This guy sucks. That is the worst scouting report I've ever heard.
That is Auburn cornerback DJ James.
Yeah, he's out. He's at the bottom of my list.
And again, Lance Zierlein wrote all of those things.
Is that Acuna? Or Acuna just took JP France deep.
Stop throwing to the good players. Please, JP France. Did you see what he just did around third base, too? He did like a little jab step at third base. Throw at him.
Throw at him.
I hope JP France throws it at the next
Forrest Whitley, you're on the mound.
So anyway, hopefully you guys enjoyed that. That is our... Hang on a sec. What did I call the title? It doesn't really roll off the tongue. The unintentionally erotic big board for your Houston Texans.
And this means that next Friday, when we're doing our draft show, location TBD, Paul and I will be pushing for Nick Cassera to draft Enos Rakestraw if he's on the board.
I'm gonna send these guys. Yes, Enos Rakestraw is our number one corner.
He is the number one corner for us for the 2000s.
Entirely based off of Lance Erline's erotic writings.
Yep. All right. Yesterday when Ime Udoka and Rafael Stone met with the media, one of the other things that came up with was contract extensions. We, on this show, we've talked a lot about Jalen Green, his future, his contract, but there's really not been too much discussion about Alperen Sengun. Are you ready to pay Alpi right now? We'll talk about that next on Glotton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo.
Gallant and George broadcasting live from Highway Cantina in Edo. The Detroit Tigers in the bottom of the eighth inning tied up their game with the Texas Rangers, so they're four apiece in the top of the ninth, and the Astros are down 2-1. Currently against the Atlanta Braves, still trying to get at least one game out of this series. Going to the bottom of the fifth right now. Looks like JP Francis Day is done as well.
Well, once again, not the biggest disaster from your starting pitcher, considering the lineup that they were going up against.
You can't ask for much more from JP Francis.
And yet, I mean, all we've got today from the Astros offense, with the bottom of the fifth about to start, is one run.
Max Freed has walked four guys. You've just taken no advantage of the opportunities that he's given you. You had guys on second base, but just once again, like, it's the same old problems with the Astros. A lot of game left, because even some of these games where, like, things have gone really well, didn't start very well, and the runs come hot and heavy and fast. So it's not, you know, still plenty of time.
Only four left on base thus far.
Yeah.
0-for-2 with runners in scoring position. And Jeremy Payne just got another error today. I think that's back-to-back games with an error.
It was very bad, too. Ooh. I don't know if you saw it.
I didn't see it. I saw a bunch of people commenting about it, though.
Dribbler right through his legs. It was not a great play. But as Chandler Rome tweets, Jose Abreu has now taken 7 at-bats with runners in scoring position since Joe Espada moved him to the 8-hole. He's 0-for-7. So even though they tried to move him down in the lineup,
he did get a walk today, though. He did walk today. Okay?
Yes.
Did you see?
That's true.
I think I put this in our rundown yesterday, but Ozzie Guillen, my friend,
yes,
who once told me to grow the bleep up, mother bleeper, down the street about 12 years ago. God, time flies. Well, he said on a White Sox post game show that it's harder to hit sub 100 than it is to hit over 300.
Yep.
And the reason he said that is because generally when you're hitting sub 100, you're not going to play anymore. It's a great point.
The White Sox at the time had like four players, I think it was. They're on pace to win 20 games this year. They're 2-14.
Well, someone's doing worse, so that's nice. A team that beat the Astros in a World Series is doing worse than them. That's nice.
Well, they still ruined Lance McCullers. So, because they don't have a roof. It's all the White Sox fault. But when Alperen...
-53 run differential. Yep, good not God. Good. That is the second most is -35.
So, Ime Udoka and Rafael Stone met with the media yesterday. Just kind of do a season recap. And here is Rafael Stone when he was asked about potentially giving both Jalen Green and Alperen Sengun contract extensions this offseason.
I'm not a... Like, we won't engage. I just, you know, if you want to have a relationship with them, it's based on communication. So we will definitely talk about them. The way the CBA is set up, it's you can extend. You don't have to. And you can always revisit next summer. So in that sense, there's no gun to our head or anything else. We'll have conversations. We'll see what makes sense for us, what makes sense for them, and then both sides will end up, you know, making whatever decisions we make. So I would say it's an opportunity to have good discussions with them. We look forward to that, but not feeling like it's a burden or a crushing pressure or anything like that.
So for the first thing, it's definitely not. I'm glad that they don't feel it's a burden, and it's not, because at least one of these two players you have massive questions about still. Like, who is Jalen Green? Do you feel comfortable, if you were Rafael Stone, would you feel comfortable giving that 25% pay increase, whatever it is, to Alperen Şengün this offseason? Or you wait and see on him too?
It's a tough question. I think, yeah, you definitely look at it. Do you feel you have to do it? Do you feel that doing it now you're going to save yourself a significant amount of money?
No.
There's a part of me that wants to see him back from this injury and playing the same way. Also, to know that this isn't going to be something that reoccurs. You know, he's a big guy. When leg injuries begin, uh-huh, doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to continue. But, you know, we have seen injuries derail players like Greg Oden's career,
yeah,
different body size. But
I mean, foot injuries of big dudes is tough. Like, we all know.
Right,
it.
Exactly. So, you know, and again, it's an ankle we're talking about with, yeah, him, right? But at the same time, that's really my only reservation with him. I think that he has shown that he takes tough coaching well. I think he's shown as well that he can improve. And he is, I think, a lot more difficult of a basketball player to find than a guy like Jalen Green, who is definitely super talented, no doubt about it, and maybe the fastest person dribbling up and down the court that we've seen since John Wall in the league. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a stretch to say. But
no, I don't think so either.
I think at the same time, the consistency makes you wonder. And I feel like he might be better off as a sixth man on another team. And do you want to give a guy like that a max contract?
Yeah, I lean no to wanting to do it right now on Jalen. And I guess I kind of lean no on Alperen too, just because they're tied together so much. You know, it's how do you move forward as a franchise with both of them if you're still unsure what the fits are when it comes to contracts? Like, what if you give Alpi a contract and then all of a sudden you realize halfway through this upcoming season that Jalen's really the guy you want to build around? So I'm fine with waiting on both. Frankly, I don't think either of them's getting a contract unless one of the other ones getting traded. I don't think Alpi is going to get a deal unless Jalen's gone, and vice versa. And part of it, too, is, like, I have soft boy concerns with Jalen Green.
Soft boy?
Okay.
Why?
If you think Alperen Şengün gets a contract and Jalen Green doesn't, Jalen Green's going to handle that well? I typically do not believe in that stuff, but I do absolutely with basketball players. So, like, I got major soft boy concerns with Jalen Green. Like, I just do not trust the idea that you are going to be able to put together a winning roster and a coherent roster.
Might be more jealous boys, yeah, than soft boys.
That's fair. I would still call it soft, but...
Well, hang on, though. Like, for us in our field, if we found out that someone got a raise and we don't think that they're good, yeah, we would do the exact same thing.
Yes. Yes. Good point. Touche.
We would do that. I don't think that Touché. Makes you soft. I think that's just human nature to be jealous of somebody else getting a contract.
That's true. So that's, yeah, so jealous boys.
Yeah, you want to be. Everyone wants to be a good teammate, but ultimately, when stuff like that happens, everyone has been through something like that, where somebody who was less qualified than you got a promotion that you wanted. Everyone I think can relate to that.
No, it's very true. So and that's where it's like, can you really do one without the other, just to try to avoid that at all cost? I would hope you can, but the idea that you're going to do one this offseason and not one the other one till the next offseason, That seems like it's pushing it a little bit. I would just, whatever you want to do to find coherent happiness. Now, look, you never know, because now these people are individuals, right? Like, we know this is not an issue with the Astros, because Kyle Tucker would never have accepted the contract that Yordan Alvarez got. Like, yes, Yordan got paid first and got paid by the Astros, but Kyle Tucker never would have took that deal. Now, it's a little bit different in the NBA because everything is so structured.
Yeah.
But Alpi might feel more compelled to be a Rocket long-term than Jalen Green right now. So there's a lot of factors into it.
100%.
It'll be fascinating to see. It was interesting hearing Stone talk about, like, trying to keep all of these guys together. And just in my head, I'm like, that's not possible. Like, Tari, Jabari, Jalen, Alpi, Cam, Amen Thompson. I'm like, the numbers just don't work. Like, it's... it's almost like you really hope the Rockets are in a position where they have to make major trades at some point in the next 2 years. Because, like, you just can't physically keep all these guys on your roster. I just don't know if that's realistic or not. That's the question.
Yeah.
It's like, how many of them will actually turn into those guys? So you're more lean towards Alpi than Jalen?
If I got to pick between the two, yes.
Okay.
I would lean towards waiting on both.
Okay. I thought Jose Altuve was about to just pull one of his blunders. There was a little blooper into the outfield, and all of a sudden the guy missed it, and then Altuve took off, and everyone to our right, Joel and Brian and Anthony, just started to freak out a little bit. So I thought we were about to see a classic Jose Altuve in that moment, Paul. But we did not. And the Astros, guess what?
No, he's just being aggressive.
Runners
Come
in
on,
scoring
guys.
Position. Can runners in scoring aggressive. Position be fixed?
This is good. Yes.
All right, we will
listen. The guy messed it. I totally understand why Altuve went on that. The center fielder totally butchered that.
All right, we are broadcasting live from Highway Cantina on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 in Edo. The Killer Bees will be here until 6, and we'll have garbage time to wrap up the show as we usually do. Before that, I want to tell you about my friends at 767 North Shepherd. That's where O Athletic is located, oathletic.com. You know what, Paul? Today, I went this morning.
Yeah.
Why? Because I knew I was getting margs. I knew I was getting chicken fajitas, which I got on the way right now here at Highway Cantina. So I knew to myself, told myself, I got to go and get in an extra bit of cardio this morning so I can enjoy myself here at Highway Cantina. You can, when you sign up, there's over 100 classes per week, whether you want to do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, MMA, boxing, weight training, agility training, every kind of class you want they've got for you. They have personal training sessions that you can do 1, 2, or 3 times a week, or you can spread it out like I'm doing. I'm doing just personal training every other week. Cam and I are working together to get in intense workouts every other week, but also to just kind of teach me and help educate me on what's the best things to do in my weight loss goals. So when you want to start losing weight or put on some muscle and get lean, make sure you go to O Athletic. It's at 767 North Shepherd and oathletic.com.
ESPN 97.5. Back to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Highway Cantina in Edo.
Hey, guess what? Runners in scoring position. They got it. Alex Bregman drove in a run.
He only drove one of the two runs.
Man, come on, Paul. Like, you got to be like one at a time. At this point, one at a time.
I know,
okay?
But they had,
don't be selfish.
They had runners on second and third, and I thought for sure that both were going to end up scoring, and that did not happen.
Kyle
I guess
Tucker
there's one out, so they're
domed.
Not running. Yeah, Kyle Tucker should definitely charge the mound, and Alex Bregman nearly got picked off, but he didn't, so that's nice.
We need more charges of the mound. Those are some great moments.
Bring it back.
Like, those are some great moments in baseball
bring it
history.
Back. Yeah, go out to the mound with a baseball bat. It's fine.
The
it's
best
fine.
Ever. I know people here love Robin Ventura getting his ass kicked by
yes.
Nolan Ryan.
Yes, even though it was Rangers Nolan Ryan.
But the best always is, and you can hate on my Cubs fandom all you want, people, the best is always Kyle Farnsworth. He was the pitcher who pile-drived the batter as he came to the mound because he eventually went on to go play like semi-pro football. It is one of the greatest mound charges you've ever seen just because the pitcher kicked his ass. Hey, guess what, Paul? More runs.
Let's go.
More runs. Kyle Tucker.
Contract year Kyle Tucker. Let's go.
All right, so.
Astros are winning.
Astros are winning. That's a good thing, Paul. That's just what we need. We need to be at Highway Cantina to bring the good vibes. And like you said, today is the first day for the rest of the season. It's opening day on April 17th.
I do wish that the Astros had charged Joe Kelly on the mound.
Ooh, yes.
When he threw at Bregman and did the Correa mock.
Uh-huh.
I will say Kelly held his own while with the Boston Red Sox against Tyler Austin in a mound charge. It was a Red Sox Yankees mound charge too.
I think like we talked about teams you hate like that level of player or team that like for the Houston rivalry. I don't think there's anyone that's close to Joe Kelly in terms of just individual players.
And Mike Fiers? Does yes. that count, though, because he never played against you?
Yeah, because he literally ran from you. Like, every single time he was scheduled to come up in the rotation when he was on the A's, he would magically get hurt.
I don't think there's anyone else on the Dodgers that individually I disliked.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Draymond, you could say.
Draymond and Steph Curry.
Yeah, I mean, they did close Steph Curry's wife's business while she was here.
T.Y. Hilton, who is a Houston terrorist.
Yeah, that's a good one. But even T.Y. Hilton, it's almost like getting, like, it's just like getting kicked in the ass. You know,
well,
it's like,
you're getting kicked very hard in the ass.
Yeah, like you're just getting,
like Red Foreman from that '70s show is putting the boot all up in it.
Okay, great show.
Yes,
great show.
Did you watch the spinoff?
No.
Oh, I was. We're asking the same question.
I was asking.
No,
the same
I didn't watch it. I mean, I heard that some of the characters are back, but I don't think they're all back. Yeah.
Did you watch?
Red was my favorite character on the show, though. So yeah. If the story is centered around Kitty and Red, then I can get back into that.
Now it's weird looking at like the show now because of Danny Masterson being like the pinnacle of being a scumbag.
Yeah.
Did you watch The Ranch on Netflix?
No.
Okay, because that's
another Danny Masterson show.
Well, it's him and Ashton Kutcher are the lead characters.
Oh,
and Fez shows up.
Oh, all the '70s show people.
They all
show up
as different characters, but there's that '70s show's cameos throughout. Every single person shows up. I think even except for Donna, whoever played Donna's not in the show. But like, it's a good show. It's kind of weird to watch now, just knowing how bad one of the people in the show is. But yeah, all right, it's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, guys. In garbage time, we begin with a moment that took place at a press conference that has some people remembering Adam Gaze and his gaze. Daniel Jones went viral for having bug eyes at his press conference with the Giants, and many are believing that the Giants are going to move on from him entirely because of this. Is that fair? Daniel Jones, his pupils a little dilated?
I mean, it was really weird. Like, you look at the photos that have existed that are out there now. I think they should move on. I don't think your quarterback meets with the media if you're going to keep him. If you're not going to keep
him. Well, they had C.J. Stroud meet with the media this week, too. So I think that everyone's it's the start of the season interviews that...
I don't know.
Because they haven't had availabilities for a couple of months.
Like, you think... Like, if Mac Jones was still on the Patriots, you think he's meeting with the media?
No, but it's different
before the NFL draft?
It's different, I think, with someone like Daniel Jones, too. Like, the Mac Jones thing soured so quickly.
Yeah.
And so horribly. Many things have soured, including my opinion of Robert Kraft over the last couple of weeks. All right, continuing to go through garbage time. Did you know you can get a fantastic margarita at the Highway Cantina?
Yes, you can.
The large marge right in front of us. We still haven't finished. It's been 3 hours of trying to go and down that fishbowl.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go to a smaller one here in a minute.
Did you know that another local Houston restaurant is going to try cannabis margaritas? Ninfas.
Interesting.
Cannabis margaritas. I don't think that's going to work.
I don't really like that, like, genre of stuff. Like, I've tried the beer that people are doing now.
The Delta 8 stuff?
It's not for me.
Because it probably would be the Delta 8 kind
of
stuff.
Yeah. Like, I remember when Andrew Carlson got high on accident because people just recklessly left...
On accident?
THC drinks in our fridge without telling anyone that they were there.
I mean, look at the can.
Dude, who thinks that there's just, like, THC cans in the fridge at work?
Well, what kind of... there's just a can there?
It looked like an energy drink.
Read what's on it.
I know. It's probably his bad, too.
No, he unless Andrew can't read. Is that why he's going back to school?
No, he's going back to school to make a lot more money.
Okay. Gotcha.
I just...
love you, Andrew.
That brand of stuff is not for me. Hey, he was on Soccer Matters the other day. Go listen to the podcast.
Hell yeah. All right. Continuing. Guess what, guys? There's a big competition coming up. It's a big competition that involves women, and you guys all know that I really... respect women.
Okay.
I'm a white knight. Mm-hmm. Women are my favorite. That's why the WNBA is the best league that there is.
Sure.
But there's going to be a new competition
For
women and looks. The first ever Miss AI will be crowned next month.
Why?
A beauty pageant for digitally generated models. There's a cash prize for the hottest fake babe.
Yeah, but like, how do you, like...
This is a real thing.
That's so
2024,
stupid.
Baby. 2024.
So who wins the prize? The people who made her?
The perverts who made them.
Like, I just don't understand, like, why you would even want to partake in such a
Well, it's about the money, baby.
No, they called me to judge.
I'm not going to lie. I followed one of those fake AI. If they called you to judge, you'd be in?
Yeah, why not? Am I going to pay for it?
Yeah, one of those popped up in my algorithm, and I was like, oh, this person's really attractive. Sure, she's really deep and has a lot of thoughts. And it's like, oh, it's AI. I'm telling you that you'd be shocked by how real some of these things look online.
It's hard to tell.
Speaking of real or not real, X may be about to charge new users a one-time fee of $1 so that they can get rid of the bots, like the see nudes in bio.
Okay, but like, why do they need money to do this? I don't understand.
Because this is better than clicking the button that says, I am not a robot. I guess it's a little bit more difficult.
I guess.
That's exactly what I want to do. You know, I'm not spending enough money on Twitter. I really want to spend more money to have my stupid blue check mark so that people can see what I tweet.
Because my concern is that if you the first time it happens, it won't be a one-time thing.
Definitely not.
They're claiming it's a one-time thing.
Definitely not.
But, like, they're not going to just keep it. It's a bad place now. But you know what's worse, Paul?
Where's that?
Threads.
Threads?
It's weird. Because the porn bots are not even the same. Like, it's just they're, like, all Twitter accounts. Like, they're all, like, Threads accounts. Like, they actually, like, pretend to tweet.
Is that why
things.
You stay on Twitter so much?
Nope. But Threads is a weird place. Like.
Yeah, I don't go on that
yeah.
either. Yeah. They recommend me, like, the posts they recommend for me, I'm like, why? Why is this person being recommended for me?
It's based off your Instagram algorithm, so that's why it's a little bit different, I think, than your Twitter algorithm.
Okay, then why is the person that constantly pops up with notifications is a trans activist? Maybe I have no idea why.
Maybe it's the
people. No, there's nothing wrong with that, but like, what? How did that?
I don't know. Maybe it's
how
the people
is that
that
my algorithm?
Maybe it's the people that are in your DMs are changing your algorithm.
You know what? Maybe.
Like, you
maybe.
Never know.
Maybe. Speaking of school and class, did you see Shedeur Sanders? Shedeur Sanders went to an in-person class for the first time in over a year.
Yeah.
And naturally, like any good student will do, he decided to put it on Instagram Live.
I don't know what's worse, this or what Dion said the other day. Shedeur and Travis Hunter can play for like five teams in the NFL. I think it was like the 49ers, the Cowboys, the Falcons, and there was two other ones. He's just publicly
Ravens
saying there's six teams.
And Washington.
Yeah, just the teams he played for. And like he's just like, yeah, this is who they're going to play for. Well, first of all, only one of those is your kids. So that's issue number one I have. If I'm Travis Hunter, like I would stop letting Deion Sanders speak for me. Not that it's going to like kill their draft stock, but what are you going to do when like they're not there? You're not Eli Manning.
Yeah, Shedeur Sanders isn't quite there.
Like,
you got to win some games.
Maybe they win the Big 12 next year in a surprise. I doubt it.
Eli had some big wins. I went to like the first ever Florida Gator game that I went to, and I like Florida for those who don't know, was Eli Manning against the Gators, and the Gators ran the no huddle up 4 points with 3 minutes left. They went in and out in 20 seconds, and Eli Manning got the ball and marched the Ole Miss Rebels down the field for a heartbreaking Gators victory in Gainesville. Or loss in Gainesville.
Yeah.
Ole Miss won. Sucked.
The other team was the Eagles that Deion said he could play for. The one team he didn't play for. It's just, I think Deion needs to slow his roll a little bit with the stuff he's going with.
Speaking of slowing your roll, you better slow your roll if you're looking for renovations in your home, because there is a couple of folks who have stolen and gambled over $1 million from local Houston folks who were just looking to renovate their home.
Yikes.
So they get the money, and then all of a sudden they say, oh, we can't do this, we can't do that. Apparently they have good reviews online somehow, and they just take the money that they're getting for renovations and gamble it immediately. So be on the lookout.
All right.
Do your due diligence if you're looking to renovate your house.
That's something.
They're going to rob you and gamble away the savings.
All right, that does it for us today. On Glott and George. Thank you to Highway Cantina.
Highway Cantina.
$975 Margs. I can't wait to try these fajitas that Paul's been going on about.
Oh, yeah. The chicken fajita, man.
I'm ready.
The seasoning on these things
is
fantastic.
I'm ready for my chicken fajitas. Great place to come watch the Astros or after the game as well. Come and get a margarita. Come enjoy it. Great atmosphere as well. The Killer Bees will broadcasting live here till 6. We are back in studio tomorrow at noon. Goodbye.
Peace.
Thank you. ESPN 97.5.